today, the best content is super fun. Don't be afraid to like let your brand freak flag fly. Yeah. You know, have a good time with your market. That will resonate with people. And that's going to look different from brand to brand, but figure out that out for yourself.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. This is Jonathan, founder and CEO of The Juice, and today's host with Rob Carpenter of AudienceLit. I'm thrilled to be joined by Rob. I've met him in San Diego where it's sunny and beautiful, I'm sure, today. If you're watching today's episode, you can kind of see it snowing behind me. It's gray and cold here in Indiana. More exciting than the weather, though, I'm excited to learn about all things AudienceLit, both the business that Rob is building and the movement that they are leading. Before I ramble on too much, Rob, I'd love for you in your own words to share a little bit about your background, your story, and a little bit about AudienceLit.
Yeah, I'm Rob. I'm the founder of AudienceLit. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to have this chat. We've chatted a lot about this offline. Excited to be on this call with you. I'm a sort of like career head of marketing, founding marketing lead since 2012 or so. So been in it for a while, kind of fell into it in tech. And so I've done like the playbook back then of lead generation and inbound marketing and all that sort of stuff. Eventually even started like a startup growth hacker agency. So I've been through all these different eras. The past handful of years, I've really honed in on a strategy that we call audience-like growth and helped primarily B2B SaaS companies execute it. And recently this year launched audienceled.com to offer it as a service to B2B tech companies. So excited to talk with you a little bit about it today and why it's so important to invest in this type of marketing.
Yeah, big fan. Can't wait to dig in. Excited to learn more. And The Juice is trying to participate in this a little bit ourselves. So I think it's going to be exciting for our audience to probably learn a little bit along the way. Before we do that, this is the Content Cocktail Hour. Rob, we do always ask all of our guests, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
I love just coffee and water. Like that's my drinks of the day all the time. But at the end of the day, or if I'm meeting up with someone for drinks, I usually go for a spicy margarita, like a mango jalapeno margarita. Really hits the spot. I love it.
Can confirm, Rob, just a little bit inside baseball here. Before we hit record, he was like, oh, my answer is boring to what am I drinking nowadays. He's like, all I drink is coffee and water. And I was like, lies. I've seen you drink margaritas before. So we had to twist his arm to get that out of him.
Yeah, you see me drink a couple of those margaritas before. So.
Yeah, there we go. Well, all right, let's move on to AudienceLit. You mentioned this is the new way. You mentioned you, like myself, like most marketers, we've kind of ran the playbook. There are people still running that playbook, you know, of the 2000s, if you will. HubSpot created inbound, became very popular. And I think as everybody adopted that playbook, it actually was the curse of success, was it became less effective as everybody was doing it. And I think like broadly, like everybody kind of caught on that they were participating in the playbook. Maybe break down a little bit, what is AudienceLit, or maybe lead with why AudienceLit matters now?
Well, like I said, I've been in marketing lead positions for a while, and I did that playbook, and I started really seeing how diminishing returns of that playbook, I would say 2018, 2019, but especially 2020. And that's when I got into an opportunity to found the marketing org at DemoStack. And it was the first time in my career where there were a good amount of like industry communities. And so we joined these industry communities that were already doing a lot of events and doing a lot of podcasts and things like that for experts in that industry. And it just really hit me at that moment. My buyers are just very conveniently congregating here and doing cool stuff together and turning to each other for buying decisions. And then you notice the change on LinkedIn as well. Like from 2020 on, like it's only really exploded the importance of community on that platform. Whole markets today, especially in sales tech and martech, but in more and more industries, are themselves communities on LinkedIn. If you follow all the same people or follow all the people, you know, producing content on LinkedIn, you start kind of seeing that industry kind of surface itself. So this really changed how buyers are making buying decisions. It should be changing how companies should be going to market and producing content. That hasn't actually really happened that much yet. So just to back up, like, what happened there? So that's true, right? It kind of timed with the same time as a few other eras in marketing kind of hitting these ceilings and becoming really saturated. So I would say one of those eras is the like predictable revenue era in app. Back then, 2018, 2019, 2020, it got actually really frothy there in terms of investment. Around that time period, you can scale up headcount and just scale up outreach. So buyers started really getting inundated with it, getting tired of it, like really getting burned by it. Also, companies were really trying to be strict with their sales process at the time. It was not very buyer-centric, very more sales company, like the company-centric. At the same time, the growth hacking era was still going on. And it was all about how can we do this tactic and do this hack and all that sort of stuff. And both of those eras at the same time, what companies were judging effectiveness on was really the funnel and numbers through that funnel. How many MQLs, how many SQLs, pipeline, et cetera. All that stuff is still important, but that was the definition of marketing for that period of time. And what we lost for a while there, which I would deem as like one of the worst eras of marketing ever, was the relationship with the buyer, with the market. And so what happened around that time of 2020, when these things were hitting ahead and getting worse and worse, even inbound marketing, by the way, I would put into that category, like it just got oversaturated and people started doing tactics where it kind of like burned people, leak-gated stuff, bait and switch on their content topics, stuff like that. So they're tired of these eras. And then it just became so much easier to turn to each other, where they're tired of how they've been treated as buyers. They're tired of that go-to-market playbook. And then now they're less reliant on it because they can just talk to their peers and ask their suggestions, or they can follow creators that they know, like, and respect and learn about options from them. So that's where we're at today, is they are kind of, buyers are tuning out brands they don't know at this point. That's why ad performance is dipping, inbound is dipping, everything outbound is dipping, and they're turning to their peers that they trust and like. So brand new ball game, right? It's a whole new situation. And I don't think companies have invested or thought enough about how they need to change how they go to market with that shift.
I love that summary. A few of my own reactions. I was leading a marketing team in 2017 through 2020 as we grew from 5 million to 25 million SDRs reported into marketing, which I loved. We were constantly having conversations of, this is just a math problem. Like, let's hire SDRs until we see a law of diminishing returns. And once we do that, we'll stop hiring SDRs. Like, you're right. Like, we were all just like running this playbook that was just like, it was a math equation, right? It's like, how many dollars can we pour into this channel to get a cost per lead that we are all okay with? And then let's do that. And then once we wear out that channel, let's go to the next channel. So I think you're exactly right about that. And then I think that leads to we as marketers and maybe more esoterically like brands, we did that so much and so hard and fast that we like burned the trust that we had built with the buyer. And so buyers turned that trust away from the brand or the marketing to the individual creators, the individual communities that they now trust and that they are now buying from. Maybe it's a cliche analogy, but if your plumber recommends an electrician, that conversion rate's going to be like close to 100%, if not 100%, right? And so I think that's kind of led us to where we are now. And now you mentioned kind of these eras we've gone through. I think you and I are aligned that like this AI era that we are in right now, AI is helping people do things more efficiently, faster, and higher quantity, but I'm not convinced it's helping them do the right thing more efficiently, faster, and in higher quantity. I think what it's actually doing is empowering people to do some of the bad habits faster and more, and it's just creating more noise for our buyers, again, to have to sift through.
Yeah, people are just tripling down on the old playbook. These technologies, AI is enabling to do more of it. It is also somewhat better in some cases, but you could see right through it. You could see AI when you see it, when it's in front of you. And I think that there's an argument that you can't, or it's just as good, but you can always tell when someone's just being authentic. Mm-hmm. And so it's less about, are we personalizing well? Are we reaching the right buyer at the right time even? Is this a person talking to me? I can tell. And buyers get so used to brands engaging with them as like a number and not seeing them as humans that they should be building relationships with.
It feels like we're at a fork in the road, right? There are some companies who are tripling down, doing faster, more cost-effective, more AI, just more, more, more. And then there are others going this, like, I've seen it referred to as community-led, creator-led, but it feels like audience-led is really this combination of just like trust and like knowing the right, like, human. This sounds crazy to say out loud, but welcome to 2024, almost 2025. Finding the right humans to partner with as opposed to partnering with technology. Audience-led feels like it's encapsulating that fork in the road.
Yeah, it's looking at where we came from, what is the situation today where buyers and markets are turning to each other, they're turning to their peers, and that markets are way more visible now. Like, we as brands can see our markets, see the community in front of us, and then they can see each other. And so that wasn't ever real. That wasn't ever a situation before. Now, markets being visible to both buyers and to the brands. So what audience-led growth is to us is saying, what is the go-to-market strategy in that new reality? One is realizing that your market is there and visible, and you can play a role in it publicly. You can be a leader in it, and you can be a peer in it. So I say buyers today are kind of tuning out brands they don't know, and they're turning to peers that they know, like, and trust. Brands can be a peer. They just have to go into that ecosystem, be a leader, provide value. And the best way to do that, and what is an audience-led growth strategy, is to do that with people that already have trust and affinity in that audience. So how can you become a peer in that audience by doing cool stuff with people that already are known, liked, and trusted in the places where your buyers are at? That's audience-led growth in a nutshell.
It sounds so simple, but it feels like we're all having a hard time kind of figuring out how to execute on that. You mentioned creators there, and I want to, like, this is kind of my own like education as well, which I appreciate doing live. I've also heard you say things like co-marketing. Like, audience-led isn't just relying on creators or just like transactionally paying a creator $1,000 for a post, right? How is audience-led different, similar to just like maybe what would be called traditional like creator advertising?
B2B influencer marketing is a reaction to what brands are seeing is not working as much anymore, you know, what we've already talked about, and saying, yeah, we do need to build more trust and affinity in this ecosystem. They see that the ecosystem is important, the market is important. And what they are thinking they need to do is influencer marketing. When they get into conversations with agencies and people that offer influencer marketing, what they're getting is paid post management and influencer recruitment. And so, to me, this is still playing the old playbook. It's still treating the audience as numbers of just, let's just do whatever we need to do to get in front of them. And it's a distribution play. Most of influencer, paid influencer posts that you see are going to be very company centric. They're going to be about the product. And what you see is not typically going to be like really engaging content in general. The whole debate right now about, like, what I find a little funny is that the inauthenticity that exists in this type of marketing, some people are marking it as sponsored or people are not marking it as sponsored. And then, like, they're saying, oh, you should always mark everything as sponsored. And my argument is, like, either way, the buyer and the market is perceiving that post as transactional. Mm-hmm. It kind of doesn't matter whether it's mm-hmm. marked as sponsored or not. Like, audiences can see it. They can see right through it. They know it's a paid for post. In fact, like, even if you put brand partner at the bottom, you know exactly what the situation is. And you, as someone in that feed, a consumer in that feed, you're perceiving that as a transactional relationship, nothing more. Yeah. And you're perceiving it as an ad, nothing more. Yeah. So does that really move the needle in terms of building trust and building affinity in that market? I would argue no. I would argue in a lot of cases, it's hurting your trust and affinity mm-hmm. in your market, because it just looks like you're out there trying to peddle yourself and buy people off. Like, one term I would say that you could take from B2C that's kind of true in this dynamic is like the term industry plant. Like, you could say that sponsor posts are turning creators into industry plants in some aspects, right? The question is, how do you actually like work with creators, work with influencers? Like, influencer isn't necessarily a bad word. The way that I think of it and we think of it at Audience Led is an influencer is just someone that influences your buyers. And that could be users of your product, expert users of your product, partners with your company, subject matter experts in general. It doesn't have to be some person with a lot of followers, that sort of thing. And our answer is not to do paid posts. Our answer is, how can we do really compelling and engaging campaigns and content with that person? And sometimes that can be a paid arrangement. A lot of times it doesn't have to be. It can be pure co-marketing. Yeah. But a paid arrangement that I believe is authentic, and this is something that we help with, would be just paying them for their time like you would any other person that you work with in business. So instead of pay per post, it's usually like pay per recording sessions or pay per developing a campaign or something like that. And then the focus is less about, hey, we're going to pay you in this transactional way and you go and let the creator create, is the lingo that we hear a lot. We don't believe in that. We think you should be going to market with your market. You should be super collaborative, come up with great ideas together, do cool things together.
So I'm going to ask like combo platter question here, but both related. Who's doing this well right now, if we all want to go check this out? And then two, if a brand does want to get started down that path of doing it well, how do they do that?
There's actually a lot of good examples of brands that are doing it well. The best example out there, and a lot of people would probably already know this, is Klay. Klay, I think, really captured a lot of attention earlier this year with their big fundraise because they activated their creator program. And what their creator program is basically just enabling their expert users to show off their expertise. And they make it very easy for them and they give them other benefits, but they don't actually pay any of those creators. They don't pay them to do those posts. People apply to the program. And then once they're in the program, they get graphic templates. They get video templates. They are included in on early releases and on launch campaigns. It's more of a partnership program and they make it very easy for the creators, but then both sides are incentivized. Like, their whole agency is being launched based off of this. So it's helping them grow their business. I would say broadly, like, there's multiple other good examples of programs like that. I think Beehive is another one that did a program recently for independent journalists and just making it very easy for those journalists to excel on Beehive. That's just really fantastic ecosystem marketing. But more broadly, like, the companies that you think are doing great marketing, and I'm not talking like founder-led content, like someone, you know, a founder writing about their POV, but a brand, when you see a brand doing great marketing, what are they doing?
Engaging with others. Like, all the great marketing campaigns, I don't even know the ones that are at least top of mind. I'm like, oh, they did it together. I don't even know who owned the campaign. It was just like they were all involved.
Yeah, they're doing cool stuff with other people outside of their company. They're leading their industry by being a leader in that industry and doing cool stuff with cool people. Yeah. And so when we talk about co-marketing, it feels like this dated term, like I did it a lot in 2012, 2013, and it was like guest blog post exchange and maybe some webinars. But what you're seeing a lot of right now actually is companies just doing really creative activations with other companies and other influencers. Yeah. And most of those activations are not paid activations at all. They're just leading with creativity, providing value to both the market and to those creators and making it happen. It could be super creative, like this one that we just saw this week, Quiller. They launched like this personality test and that anyone could go and do. And then based off of the personality test results, it gave you a trading card for yourself and your attributes and that sort of thing. And so just really creative, smart campaign. It could also be as simple as like just a really great, sturdy webinar program. And I would say SQL is a great example of that with their Game Changers program. Over and over and over again, bring in great guests and showcase those guests and those expertise. They're going to market with their market. They're showcasing go-to-market leaders to other go-to-market leaders. And so to really excel today, that's what you got to do. You got to do these campaigns and do these activations with your market and really just get in front of that market and it be compelling and engaging.
Love that. I think the underlying theme to all those is they're fun. Like this is marketing. It's supposed to be fun. We talk about that all the time. If you're in marketing in tech and you're not having fun, like what the hell are you doing? You're pushing those boundaries with cool people, doing cool things for your audience. Like that should be fun at the end of the day. Not to be confused with easy. Like these are still really hard campaigns to execute, but it should be the result should be everybody having a little bit more fun.
Absolutely. And that's something that I think I woke up one day in my old agency, the Growth Hacker Agency, and realized that this actually isn't all that much fun. Just doing the channel-based, the funnel-based marketing and the content that was associated with it. And today, the best content is super fun. Just do creative stuff. Don't be afraid to like let your brand freak flag fly, have a good time with your market that will resonate with people. And that's going to look different from brand to brand, but figure out that out for yourself and figure out how you can break free from like the channel mindset. And it's good. Spin up paid ads, spin up SEO, do these things. They will still, if you do it right, they can drive pipeline, they can drive performance with you. I'd argue if you take an audience-like growth approach, even with those channels, by including your audience on those things, every blog post should have subject matter experts in it. Every ad could feature users. So you can still take an audience-led growth approach with these channels. But I think the most important thing that companies need to be doing today is just getting out in the market, being a peer, and doing cool stuff with other people. And that's not a muscle that a lot of organizations have built yet. They have built in, they have people that have experience in the old way. It's always something that I've heard founders say they want to do more webinars. They want to do more of these things, but their team has gotten caught up in the rat race or wheel or what have you of traditional marketing. And I'm going to advocate either find a way to break free from that and get more creative or pull in the right muscle to help you. And because it is hard. It is time consuming to do the recruitment of the people into the webinar and produce the assets and all that sort of stuff. That's what we're hoping to help solve as a problem at Audience Led.
Love that. We should all have a little bit more fun. I like it. Rob, the last question we always ask all of our guests is, what's an unpopular opinion you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
Right now, I don't believe in the term let creators create. That's a term that gets thrown around as it relates to influencer marketing. And I believe it's resulting in these paid posts that just feel disconnected, that feel inauthentic, and that feel just not very valuable. And so the mindset is that the creator knows their audience better than you can ever know that audience. And I'm going to say I disagree. Or at least you as a brand should know your general audience and your market better than anyone. It is your business too. And you should be trying to find partners that you know have affinity in that audience. And then you should be doing stuff with them and get creative and don't just rely on them to just spin something up. You should be figuring out how can you deliver the most value to that audience together. And so let creators create, don't like the language. And that would be my kind of hard line, I would say.
I like it. Well, Rob, if you want to learn more from you or learn more about Audience Led, what's the best way to do it?
Talk to me or the Audience Led team on LinkedIn. We're starting to try to get more visible. We're announcing new roles all the time. People, I think that you probably already know, like, and trust. And that's a part of our recruitment strategy is to build the strongest team in the world on this type of marketing. So find us on LinkedIn. Also, audienceled.com. You can learn a little bit about us there.
Love it. Well, Rob, thank you so much for joining us today. I've got about a full page of notes here. I know the juice will be trying to lean into Audience Led. I hope all of our watchers and listeners have learned a little today. Until next time, cheers.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.